prayed.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Are we excited to hear the word of God?
Yes.
Amen. And as you can see, the topic is Vision 2020, a year and a decade. I was thinking about it, you know, back, 10 years back, year 2010. I was reflecting. And this is year 2020. 10 years. And I was like, wow, awesome God. You are indeed an awesome God. And you'll be wondering, why am I talking about reflecting back on the last 10 years where we are? In 2020, I want to talk about Vision 2020. I want us to talk about it. One, and this is the aim of this message. It's not going to be just a message for today. We're still going to have part two. Or how to write our vision, mission statement. Maybe for the next 1 year, for the next 10 years, it depends on what you want. One of the aim of this topic is for us to be able to reflect on the last 10 years of our lives. What are we reflecting on? How I have lived my life in the last 10 years. We cannot get those 10 years back ordinarily. But supernaturally, God can cause us to get those 10 years back, depending on his mercy. Amen?
Amen.
So humanly speaking, we cannot say, oh, the last 10 years of my life, I can still bring it back. No, it's gone. So we want to pay careful attention. Careful. When I use the word careful, I'm using it carefully. We want to pay careful attention to our next 10 years, to our next 20 years, to our next 30 years. And if we don't set the pace right now, another 10 years can go by so quickly. And we are like, oh, what exactly has happened in the last 10 years? And we are not able to lay hold on tangible things, especially that we have achieved for the Lord, that we matter, that we count in eternity, that we leave a legacy of authority and power to our children and our children's children and generations after us. And I want to challenge you this morning that our life is not just about ourselves. That is the reason why we need to sit down and really reflect on our lives. How have I praised God? How have I served the Lord? How have I honored the Lord with my life? How have I fellowshiped? How have I been committed to the Lord? How have I truly represent the King that I claim to belong to? These are the questions. These are the things that we need to reflect on. How have I grown in the knowledge of the Lord in the last 10 years? Where was I? And where am I now? And where will I be in the next 10 years? And when I'm talking about this, I'm not talking about picking up portfolio that is not given from the above and going around doing stuffs. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about carefully taking every step in the plan, in the purpose, and in the will of God. I'm making him rejoicing over us. Hallelujah.
Amen.
How have I nurtured? How have I nurtured myself in the Lord? How have I nurtured the people around me? My children, my friends, my spouse, my parents, people around us. You know, in the Sunday school, you know, someone was asking, are we truly ruling if we are somewhere? How? Yeah, if truly you are in the kingdom, you are a king, you are a prince. That is if truly you are in the kingdom. Because there are so many that claim to be in the kingdom, but you can't see the evidence of the kingdom. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I'm still introducing and I'm trying to lay the foundation. Why? Why are we looking at Vision 2020? What are we actually thinking about if we say we are looking at Vision 2020? Amen?
Amen.
We want to examine, what are we focusing on? What are our priorities? What are we looking at? What is the path that we are walking in the next 10 years? Hallelujah.
Amen.
And later on, not today, next week by God's grace, we're going to see how we put our virtues, our values, and godly characters of the kingdom that God has given to us as princes and princesses to a vision, mission statement that we guide our lives. Hallelujah. So we are going to take our test. Let's go back to the first slide, please. Let's open our Bible to James chapter 4. Even if it's just one slide that we can take today, it's okay, because I really want us to lay the foundation so that by the time the series is progressing, we are truly making progress. Not motion without progress. And that will not be our portion in Jesus' name.
Amen.
James chapter 4. Verses 2 and 3. And I will read. Ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and ye war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lust. Praise the Lord. Let's go to the next scripture. The slide, please. Habakkuk 2:2-3. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon tables, that he may run that readeth it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. I want to assure you, if there is a woman, if there is a man, if there is a prince, if there is a princess, to pray according to the will of God, there is a God to answer. I said there is a God to answer. I'm a living witness of God answering prayer. I've written down things in the place of prayer. I didn't get the inspiration from friends or anybody, but why I'm fellowshipping, why I'm reverencing, why I'm honoring God, worshiping, in the midst of worship, God has inspired me to write something down that I want, that God said, I am going to do this. And it's like, oh, no, come on, God. How can this be? From where to where? How shall it be? But I tell you, over the years, I have seen little things in the eyes of God that are gigantic in my own eyes, but God, by his Holy Spirit and power, accomplishing them.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So if it's God's will, it will be his bill. Amen?
Amen?
Let's go to the last one. Jeremiah 29, verse 11. Jeremiah 29. I know a lot of us, we can read it like, just like that. But I want us to read it. It's by reading the word of God that as you are reading the letter, the rhema comes to you. If you don't stare at the letter, the rhema might not come. So you put your face on the letter, the rhema comes. Hallelujah.
Amen.
For I know, that is God. Say, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you. God has a thought. God has a plan. God has a way. God has some stuffs for you. Amen?
Amen.
Said the Lord, thought of peace and not of evil. To give you. Who is going to give you? Who is going to give you? You know, I was telling someone recently, I said, even in the midst of people, they are sacking people, they are doing stuff, they say there is no job. In that same profession, a sister of us just got a miraculous job. God can do anything. It's the God that will give it. It's not the situation. It's not the government. It's God. Amen. Amen. To give you an expected end. A lot of us, we call this scripture, I know the thought of God towards me. I know the plan of God towards me. The question is, do you truly know the God? Food for thought. Let's go back to the next slide, please. The next one, sir. Thank you, and God bless you, sir. God is a script writer. And I want to talk briefly about that. You see people that write scripts and, you know, act movie and do stuff. There is a thought. Or there is an episode somewhere. Or there is a scene somewhere. Or there is a life somewhere. They get their inspiration from somewhere. And by the time they have that thought, oh, they start putting it down. God has a thought. You are not an accident. You are not just by the way. He carefully put you together. He wrote the script of your life before you are even conceived in your mother's womb. A lot of time we look at ourselves, and that's why the Bible says that he that reproacheth a poor person, you are reproaching his maker. Because God made all things. And there is nothing that God created without a purpose. And I want to say to you this morning, God has a purpose for your life. He put it together. He wrote the script of your life carefully. And he knows how he should act out. Like a script writer, he knows where the at one scene one should end, and you go to the next one. And if maybe the next episode, the next scene, the next act, the person that's supposed to be there is not there. What do you think God does? He replaces them. He replaces. God replaces. You know, we should not just go and sleep and say, oh, I know the God, the thought that God has towards me is of good and not of evil. He has great plan. And you are not aligning yourself with his purpose and his plan. Then he puts somebody else there. Peradventure, this has happened in the last 10 years. Maybe there are ways that we are supposed to have acted for the Lord and rule and be the priests of the Lord. But we are not there. God wants to align our paths with him this year. And once he's doing that and we release ourselves unto him, the next decade, if Jesus tarry, if he has not come, if he delays his coming, his plan for us, he said, I have a plan for you. He said, my presence will go before you and I will give you rest. Exodus 33:14. My presence shall go before you and I will give you rest. That is the plan of God. Regardless of the situation, regardless of the economy, regardless of every financial hardship that you're facing right now, he has a plan. He said, my plan is that I, the Lord, my presence shall go before you and I will give you rest. Whatever the obstacle is that you can see right now, God has already taken care of it. And that's why this year is declared the year of series of joy. Amen. Series of victory. Series of rest. For us and our children. For us and our brethren. For the whole household of Jesus' palace. Rest. Peace on all sides. This year, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Align yourself with the script writer of your life. That is the key thing. That's where it starts from. Bible says, woe to him that strive with his maker. If God says, go this way, you say, God, I think you can't see better. You can't see clearly. What I'm seeing here is just two doors. And according to my own plan, I need 10 doors for me to go through. And God said, move. And you refuse to take the first step. According to his plan. You belittle his plan. You ignore his presence. It's going to be hard. And that can make life to end in frustration. You keep trying because it's not the way of God. If you are doing the same thing, you are expecting a different result. It's like, I won't use the word that the quote writer, you know, there is a quote about that. That if you keep doing the same thing and you are expecting a different result, something is not okay. You go back to your maker. You go back to the one that made you. You did not make yourself. You did not create yourself. The plans that you have has to be his plan. If it's not his plan, look at what we were talking about this morning in our Sunday school. If God has a plan for somebody to rule over a nation, he will bring it to pass. If God does not have a plan for you to be a political canvas or whatever, and you want to go in that line, you're just wasting your time. You know, when we got to Canada like 11 years plus ago, we came here and my children were like, oh, we want to go for hiking, we want to register for whatever they call them, different skiing, skating, and all that stuff. And I always tell them, I say, go and ask your father. And when I tell my children to go and ask the father, it's not the earthly father. Right from when they are young, I taught them how to talk to God. Ask God if he has that in the script of your life. If he doesn't have that in the script of your life and you are doing it, you can get into trouble. You might just do it for fun. It's okay. That's something you do for fun, right? That's okay. So I asked them, what did your father say? When they come back, I say, okay, what did God say? Ah, God has not said anything. Hey, go keep on asking him. And we did that for a very long time. There was a time my son came and said, Mom, what if God said nothing? I said, if God is not saying anything, you can ask him, Father, God, are you not interested? Because as a mother, if you keep asking me something and I'm not responding, you should ask me, Mom, are you not interested? But a lot of us, we keep asking God something, and we just go and do our own thing. And God said, oh, I'm not the Alpha. If I'm not the Alpha, I can't be the Omega. If I'm not the beginning, I can't be the end. And if your heart is not right, the focus will not be right too. You'll be focusing on the wrong thing. So people, when you're talking about, you know, fulfilling the purpose of God, they think it's about gathering people, thousands, and waving your hands, and they're all falling down. No? If God did not send you there, even if you are waving your hand and everybody is falling down, it might have no record on the acting of your life, according to the script writer. So you have to be in the will of God. Amen. Amen. His plan is to give us rest. And we will have that rest. In the name of Jesus. Let's go to the next slide, sir. Thank you, and God bless you. What is a vision? The title of the message is Vision 2020. But what is a vision? When we're talking about vision, what does it mean to you? What does it mean to me? Or what can it mean when you're talking about vision? Whether physically or spiritually. We can define vision spiritually. Vision spiritually is when you are awake, you're not sleeping, and you're seeing things. Godly things. Amen? Amen. You know, because of people, they are not sleeping, maybe because of something that they have taken, they are seeing things. That's not what we are talking about. You are in the presence of God. You are a child of God. You are born again. Holy Spirit filled. You are awake and God is showing you things. Okay? There was a day we went out, myself and my children, and my son in particular, and he said, Mom, look at that signpost. He said, wine and spirits. He said, Mom, why did they say wine and spirits? I said, I don't know.
I've never been to the store. I don't know what they are selling. But from the advert, you can see what they are selling. They are selling spirits. So we're not talking about those spirits making people to see things. You have the Holy Spirit of God inside of you, showing you things. That's what we call vision. Amen? Amen? Vision is a state of being able to see. Put the seeing in red. What are you seeing? Concerning yourself in the next 1 year, by the end of this year. What are you seeing in the next 5 years? What are you seeing in the next 10 years of your life? It is an ability to be able to think of being able to plan for future with imagination or wisdom of God. Like I said, inspired by the Holy Spirit of God, being in the presence of God. I'm not saying you cannot be inspired anywhere. A lot of time when I want to get inspired, I just somewhere, not even within the city. I have a place that I go to, Kingsford. It's a retreat center, has a lot of woods, has a lot of space. Just go there and say, Creator, King, and I begin to worship God. And he will bring inspiration. He bring insight into his plans that he has. Not my own plan. Not my own way. Not my own thing. His own plans. Brethren, let it sink. God's plan, not your plan. God's plan, not your plan. Let's forget about the last time from the very minute that this message started to the maybe back to the rest of our lives. Maybe we are 5 years, you are 10 years, you are 20, you are 50 years old. Just leave those ones. Those years, thank God for those years. But let us position ourselves rightly now, at this minute, and say, Lord, I surrender myself to the place of being able to think according to your thinking. God did not make us brainless. He did not make us mindless. Because there is a God part and there is a man part. Amen? There is a God part and there is a man part. Vision. I've defined it spiritually, physically. Vision is when you are able to, with the word of God, you're able to project into the future. You're able to see by the grace of God, knowing who you are, a priest, a king, anointed, having the power, having the authority in him. You live, you move, you make your being. You are able to see what he's planning for you. And you are able to put it down in writing. Not you alone. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. A lot of people say, oh, I know what I'm doing. You know what? I know what I read in school. I know how many degrees I have. I know I have a PhD. And they go on. And God will just be looking at them. Okay, when you're done, you're bragging. Let me know. Even when we go to pray, to the glory of God, 50 days fasting is about to start. What do you go into the presence of God to do? What do you go to the presence of God to do in fasting and prayer? Do we go there and say, hey, God, and I have served you since my high school, I have known you, and yet you do nothing for me. And you just stay there and see all the time God is looking. And you are just, that's what God called murmuring. And complaining. And that's the greatest sin in the sight of God. When you cannot see the goodness of the Lord, we cannot see God as, you are just there and say, God, I can see how not right you are dealing with me. I will use some words. When you are saying the things that are not right, when you are just there, telling God how powerless or helpless he has made you to, God will be like, is that the God that I am? That gets God angry. That's why God was angry with the Israelites. Say, why is it that you are always complaining? Can't you even remember any of my goodness at all? You cannot even think about my goodness. Nothing good. Are you serious? I've not done you any good. I delivered you from the hand of tax masters. Now nobody is beating you. Nobody is beating your children to death. You're not burying yourself anymore. You are free to sleep where you want to sleep. So those things are not okay. God was not happy with them. Going forward, brethren, let us stop complaining, murmuring, and being ungrateful. Let us go continuously. Yeah, some of us, we are doing good. We are grateful. We are thankful. But let us do more. With a grateful heart, let us come unto the Lord, because our God is able to do exceeding abundantly, over and above that we think, that we ask, or that we even write down. He's able. I say he's able. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Let's go to the next slide, please. Vision and mission statements. I think I saved something that was not saved. Praise the Lord. We are going to be talking, by the grace of God, next week about how to write our vision statement, our mission statement, and how to write it together. Put it separate first. Put it together, even as simple as your mission and vision statement for yourself as a daughter of God, as a child of God, as a son of God, as an husband, as a wife, as a child to your parents. You see, if your vision, mission statement as a child is, I will always honor my parents. If that is it, because vision, mission statement has to be very clear and very, very, easy, though inspiring. It has to prepare you to do something. You know, each time you look at it, it's giving you energy to be who you say you want to be. You are going to put some things down. We are going to do it together here next week by the grace of God. This is who I want to be. As a wife, I want to be a help. Meet for my husband. It's simple, but it's a lot. So in no situation, when he's acting or he's not acting, I'm going to help. Help, 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 help is the key word. As a child, honor is the key word. Honor, honor. So when you want to throw off your guards, you want to throw off restraints, your friends are saying things, people are telling you, oh, you're, come on, come on, come on. You are, you know, no. This is Canada. This is not Nigeria. You know what? This is how to do it here. You see, I have a vision. I have a mission to honor my parents. Anything that will not honor, I don't go there. It's not for me. Amen. If your statement as a child of God is to come to the house of God to honor God, you are going to be committed to his cause. You know, in the Sunday school this morning, one of us was measuring how other people, even unbelievers, their life challenges me a lot of time. You see how they correct one another? You see how they have, you know, whatever love, tough love for one another. Ah, you, Rishi, you can't, how do you want to? And they will chastise one another. And they will move on together. Laughing. But what do we see in the house of God? We cannot. You cannot tell. Even the truth in love is offensive today. The truth. This is the truth. The Bible says, say the truth. Speak the truth in love. You are loving. You are dear. But this is the truth. To say the truth in love. It's an issue today. If our aim is to serve the king, if our aim is to focus on the king, if our aim is to make sure that the fellowship of the king is in our midst,
then we have a different attitude. The way we talk to one another, even when you are correcting people, you still correct them with respect. You'll not be critical. You won't sit on judgment seat. Judgment seat is not for anybody. Mercy is what all of us we are enjoying. And that is where we should be. Amen? I pray for us this morning that even as God is working on us, we will release ourselves to him. And as I'm concluding, because we'll go into the rest next week. We're going to pray shortly. But as I'm concluding, I want to challenge us. Before you can see, before you can say you have vision, look at the glasses on my face. If someone else is wearing these glasses, it can cause problem. Because it's just for me. Amen? So, what I'm trying to say is that why do I need these glasses? Because my eyes need help. So that I can see where I can drive well. So it is spiritually. Many are blind. Even though they are coming to church. There is spiritual blindness. The eyes of the inside, the inner man's eyes, is blindfolded. They cannot see. But I pray with authority and the power of the Most High God that before this Vision 2020 series is done, our eyes of understanding will be enlightened. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Amen. If your sight is not good, you go to the doctor that will help you. If your eyes is not good, you go to the doctor of the stomach. What are they going to do? They can't help you. But the ice maker, the one that made eyes for the one that doesn't have eyes, even if you don't have any vision, God will make you one. Amen. If your vision is blurry, he can correct it. If you're having a blurry vision, the Lord will help you. Amen. He will clear it. Amen. He will support your vision so that you can see rightly. Amen. So what I'm trying to say is that when you want to get this vision, don't use another person's lenses. Oh, I want to be like Sister Bimpe, when she leads the praise and worship now, the power of God and the presence of God, the Holy Ghost come down, and everybody is in the awe of God. I want to lead like her. It's good to be inspired by somebody. I acknowledge that. It's good to convert somebody as the anointing, but you should still go back to the owner of your life. It is how you want me to do it, as a praise singer or worshiper. Or worship leader. Do you want me to lead like Sister Bimpe? Or you have a different thing for me? Even though I love the way she leads. There's nothing wrong in taking inspiration from people. But don't pattern your life according to somebody says. Amen? Amen? I pray for you this morning and for myself. There will be light.
Amen.
I said there will be light. We will be able to see.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Let us pray. If you are here this morning, you want to connect to the owner of visions, the script writer, the maker himself, that can make and redesign and remake. Talk to him and say, Lord, you are my maker, though I do not know you, even though I claim to. But truly this morning, I genuinely want to know you. I surrender. Lord, my spirit, my soul, my mind, my intentions,